when we pray, when we dream. Why? Because the most beautiful things in life cannot be seen, as it only can be felt by heart. That's why, you know, you close your eyes to dream. And your future also depends on your dreamer. How big you dream, then become how big your future. So now you can start go to sleep? No. Hang in there. Let me share with you, you know, a story of dream. It's a wonderful story. Zechariah and Elizabeth, right? That's, you know, when you read, you know, the passage from Matthew, that they also have a dream. It was a dream for many, many years. One that they have been praying for, have been hoping for, and they've been asking for. And this is their story that I'm going to share with you this morning. Zechariah, you know, he was a priest, and Elizabeth was his wife. They were good people of high standing in the Jewish community at the time, which means that they enjoy a very, very high status. People respect them. People, you know, greet them. Just say, you know, the lawyer, the teacher, the professor, right? And Zechariah was chosen to carry a very special ceremony to enter to the Holy Temple. Every year, according to the Jewish tradition, you know, the priest has to go inside the temple, right? What are they going to do? They burn the incense, right? And then with the rest of the priests outside, staying outside to pray, right? When he burned the offering, the people together with the priests outside, they will, when they smell the incense, they were saying, okay, God is accepting, you know, this one, and they will pray together, and that's how they do the worship, right? It is an honor. Not every priest can do that. It's, you know, it's a chosen one, right? And use a term, I mean, modern term, he was at the peak of his career as a priest. Right. It seems that, you know, he has everything, right? Except for one thing. They don't have kids. Yeah. And this was their unfulfilled dream. Right. Not only that, right? And both of them, you know, were getting old. And it seems that, you know, the chance of having kids, you know, is becoming less and less. And at that time, an angel appeared and, you know, told them that God recognized your dream. God knows what you want. Yeah. And angel, you know, said, you know, told Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son. Right? And you can call his name John. But instead of, you know, recognizing, you know, this is the answer from God and believing, you know, in the dream that will be fulfilled, it's happening, and give God, you know, a big thank you. Or give the angel a hug. I don't know whether it's possible. That's how Zechariah responds. How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is advanced in years. That's how he responds, which means that it's impossible. It cannot be. I'm old. How can I have kids? Right? And the angel, you know, answered him back, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you, to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in that time. So there are many things that we can pick up from this story. And I chose three. So that, you know, we can end the service on time. If not, then, you know, I don't think Terrain will invite me to come back again. So number one, God's timing is unrestricted. It's also, you know, in your bulletin. You can put it in. And number one, God's timing is unrestricted. He can make it happen in any time. That's God. We have to give God this room to maneuver. We cannot tell God, oh, tomorrow I want these things happen. A year from now, I want these things happen. I want, you know, the church to be, this place to be filled with 150 people by the end of next year. No. Yeah. God, it's God. God's timing is unrestricted. It can happen anytime that we think it's good, that we think it's appropriate. What we have to do, what we as a believer need to do, is to keep our dream alive. Remember the story of the bridesmaid, you know, a bridesmaid in the Gospel of Matthew? They were supposed to have their lamp ready, right? The oil in the lamp, back then, you know, we don't have a flashlight, right? It's an oil lamp. So you have to keep the oil burning so that, you know, the light is ready. So they have to stay awake and be prepared for the groom to show up anytime. The groom will never tell them when the groom will appear. So they just be there, sit there, and be ready. Sitting there is not a sign of doing nothing. But the heart has to be ready. The lamp has to be ready. The light has to be on. And the same for Zechariah. And also the same for us. That we need to keep our dream alive. When God says it's time, then we shall not be caught off guard. We still have the heart to believe in. Not like Zechariah saying, no, I'm getting old. It won't happen. Right? In Psalm 77, verse 8, it said, has his steadfast love forever ceased? The psalmist remind us, the love, God's love lasts forever. Forever, which means from day one until the day of eternity. It's from eternity past to eternity present and to eternity future. Most dreams will not happen within a very short time. You start this place, you start this worship. It's a journey. It won't grow into a stage that we see, that we expect in a week, in 2 weeks. We don't know when, right? It may take years. And a lot of people like us, including Zechariah, start to give up the dream along the way. It does happen. I mean, the dream doesn't happen like, you know, switch light on and off. It's bit by bit, right? Sometime, a lot of time, it's eroded by disappointment. It is eroded by loss of faith, just like Zechariah. And it will never, never come true. Eventually, we're not sure it will happen. Eventually, we're not sure God cares. Eventually, we're not sure God really wants this dream to happen. And eventually, what happened to us? We just give it up. No, forget about it. You know, I'm going to go back to my old way of living. Right? But let me remind you that do not mix up the word wait, W-A-I-T, with the word no. Waiting doesn't mean that it's no. Zechariah has been waiting. But doesn't mean that, you know, it will not be happening. Right. God delayed doesn't mean that he denies. Right. Delay go hands in hand with anticipation. Anticipate. I mean, this, you know, the first Sunday of the Christmas season, it's called Advent. Advent is the anticipation of Christ. That's why, you know, year after year, the Israel has been waiting for Messiah. And today, it marked the first calendar of the season of Advent. Anticipate. Advent means coming in Latin. It takes a long time for Jesus to come. The coming of Jesus into this world is the biggest dream come true. God also has his own dream. And Christ, you know, coming here on earth and then born as a baby and then walk with us, sleep with us, and then die for us. Not only he died for us, and he come back, resurrected. And then tell that, you know, he will come back again. So the first part of the dream fulfilled already. So waiting for the second part, we have to be waiting. The coming of Christ into this world, and it's not easy. And you think that if a voyage or journey is smooth and short, you won't remember. But if a journey is hard and difficult, then you remember. I remember, you know, a few weeks ago that, you know, I ran the half marathon. It's my first time. Hopefully, it won't be my last time. I ran the 21K. And I still remember that the last 5K, it seems like, you know, it takes forever. People are passing me by. And I try to run, but I cannot. It's just that, you know, staggering slow. But I hang on to it, and eventually I finish. I mean, I'm not looking at the time, but I'm looking to finish it. So all of you here also were given dreams for you to dream, for you to just like run marathon to run, but you feel tired. It will take time for you to finish, and it will take effort for you to finish as well. Yeah. And during the journey that we will grow, become stronger and mature in our faith. Yeah. And we can appreciate more and more, and to have a joy, you know, a greater joy of satisfaction. I remember when I finished, I passed the finishing line. I mean, my teammate, they finished long already. It took me 2.5 hours to finish it. But when I pass the finishing line, I feel with joy and I feel with satisfaction. It takes months for me to practice, and now I achieve it. Same for dream. It takes time. It takes effort. So hang in there. Yeah. There are times the delay is for purpose. I mean, of purpose. In Zechariah's case, his son, John the Baptist, is to prepare and to pave the way for Jesus, to announce the coming of the Messiah, to foretell the Christmas story. So this is the reason for the delay. Think of history as a parade, right? I mean, we all go for parade. And then think about it, you know, when the parade passed by, right? We are blocked, you know, by this wooden fence, and there's a hole, and we can only see so much for the parade. We cannot see the entire things. Of course, we want to see more and more, but that's what we're given. And we have to wait until, you know, each one go by, and then we'll see the different things showing up. The Santa Claus, you know, and then the deer, and then the different things, right? But this is how we look at it. This is the limitation as a human. Yeah. But God is standing above, and he can see the entire parade, and he can see the entire history. Of course, from his perspective, then things happen, you know, in certain sequence, but he sees it happening, but we don't see it. And that's why that's this process of waiting. Yeah. Our job is to keep dream alive. Whatever happened, even with the passing of time, we do not let it die. And remember and trust, this was Psalm 77, verse 8. Has his steadfast love forever ceased? Are his promises at the end for all time? Remember that. Number two, do not let our dream be washing away by reality. Do not let our dream washing away by reality. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, whatever happened, conduct yourself in a manner worth of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happened in your life, whether you know you lost your job, whether you know you lost your loved one, whether you know you fell, you flung across, whether you break up, you know, with your girlfriend or boyfriend, whether you have a fight, you know, with your wife. I mean, a few weeks ago, I have a big fight with my wife. Reality can be the enemy to our dreams. It can suffocate, suck up all the oxygen so that the dream cannot breathe, cannot grow, right? And eventually the dream will die. Yeah. Our understanding, our analysis, you know, our calculation of the reality sometimes can tell us, you know, the dream, you know, is beyond our reach, it's too big, right? I mean, all the empty chair here, how can we put people into it? It's too hard. It's too difficult. Right? And there are different voices in reality that, no, you're too old. You're too young. It's too quick. It's too expensive. It's too big. It's too unrealistic. Right? They come from us. They come from maybe from our parents. They come from our friends. Come from the society. Come from, you know, what people commonly believe in. Right? They make us question our ability, make us doubt the possibility, and eventually that we doubt God and then we give up our dream. In the case of Zechariah, right? When angel told him it was time that you're gonna have a son, you're gonna have a baby. His response is, how shall I know this? For I am an old man. Yeah, that's the reality. He's getting old, right? How shall I know? And my wife, you know, is advanced in years. My wife is also old. He lose the ability to become pregnant, not to mention about, you know, carrying, you know, the baby inside the tummy. His understanding of the reality give him such a response. Is that possible? Is that possible? I don't believe that, you know, I'm going to have kids. Yeah. Will this be our reaction as well? The quote, you know, that's a quote saying that there's a fine line between dreams and reality. And it is up to you how to draw it. How you draw the line. Reality and dream. Yeah. We fail our lives. Not because we do not measure up to. We fail because we surrendered our dream. We don't dream. We surrender our dream to reality. Yeah. Let me repeat, you know, we fail. Not because we are not good enough. Not we are not measured, you know, up to standard. We're not up to par. We fail because, you know, we surrendered our dream to reality. There are many, many stories, you know, in the Bible also tell us that. The Israel. They don't believe, you know, the land of honey and milk is for them. God asked them to claim. And then when they send, you know, the scout over there to look at that and then come back and say, you know, that place, the place is wonderful. But the people is like giant. We're like, I mean, grasshopper. We cannot claim it. And they lose hope. Other than two. Right? What happened finally? The entire generation of Israel has to die and do not have the opportunity to get into the promised land. Only two. Who are the two people who believe in Caleb and Joshua? The two. Right? Hang on to your dream. Don't let reality squeeze off your dream, suffocate your dream, and then kill your dream. Number three, do not let dreams wash away by counterfeit. Which one is real? I'm sure you know, right? Lately, that's another one, you know, from Da Vinci as well. And it costs, you know, you $450 million. So in Colossians, you know, chapter 2, verse 8, it says, See to it, no one take you captive. No one take you captive by the philosophy and the empty deceit according to human tradition, according to human thinking, according to human, you know, common sense, according to the elemental spirit of the world, and not according to Christ. That's what Paul warned us, right? When we do things, when we dream, when we, you know, we have to remember that, you know, we have to do it according to God, not according to what people think. What people think sometimes can be fate, right? Counterfeit. What's counterfeit? Counterfeit, you know, which means that it's fate. I know that I read on the newspaper that there are counterfeit money showing up in Mississauga. And I hope that, you know, you don't come across it. And there are also counterfeit coming along to knock our door as we live our life here. They look like real stuff, and they look good, and they see good, such as, you know, building up a successful career. Very, very good, right? And establish a secure finance. I need to look at my bank account, make sure, you know, it's continue coming up, right? Or, you know, I need to have a good investment portfolio, a very comfortable lifestyle. Right, and I want to be recognized, you know, by people. That's why, you know, I had to climb up the career ladder, right? And they're not bad idea; they're good, but they're not real idea on dreams. And sometimes it can be nightmare as well. Imagine that, you know, you lost your job, you lost an investment, and sometimes, you know, you lost your loved one. The outcome can be terrible, yeah. And eventually, you know, all those things will squeeze the dream away, because our heart can only take so much. We take successful career, we take secure finance, and then we take all this, and then eventually there's no room for you to dream. And those counterfeit may not give you true happiness. Career will not give you the true happiness. The money will give you the true joy and satisfaction. Instead, we just want more and more. When you look at a bank account, it's never enough. When you, you know, climb up the career ladder, I mean, I start, you know, with sharing a cubicle with the others. And then eventually I have my own. And eventually, you know, I have my office. And eventually I have a corner office. And eventually I want to have what? My own company. And then when I have my own company, I want, you know, an IPO. Continue to do that. And I want more and more. It's just like drugs, right? So more money, more stuff. Not only this, those counterfeit, the problem is they can disappear in no time. Investment can be gone. Remember in 2003 or 2004 and 2008 for the financial crisis? Yeah. And you can lose your job. Yeah. And you can lose your loved one. You can lose your investment. And you can lose your status. And sometimes you can lose your lifestyle. I've seen people, you know, whether Christian or not, you know, they have gone through that. Yeah. Success comes in a lot of ways. In my opinion, it does not come with money and possession. It does not come with fame and status. But instead, it comes from our dream. Right? Dream that begins with God's and starts from our hearts. So do not give in and to be taken and captive by this counterfeit. Remember Colossians chapter 2 verse. See to it that no one takes you captive. No one. Not your friends, not your parents, not the counterfeit. Take you by captive, by the philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, human thinking, human standard, according to the elemental spirit of the world, not according to Christ. So go back to Christ. Go back, you know, and root your dream with Christ. So God's timing is unrestricted. We need to keep our dream alive. We do not let time, we do not let reality, and we do not let counterfeit to wash them away. Let us continue with the story of Zechariah. The angel brings good news that he will have a son. And in verse 14, and you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. That's what, you know, the angel, you know, told Zechariah. Not only you have a boy, huh? And then you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. Not only for you, Zechariah, not only for your wife, Elizabeth, but for many, right? This is good. Of course, the boy will bring you joy and his many and friends. But listen to this, verse 15. For he will be great before the Lord, and he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go before him in the spirit of and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to the just, and to make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Wow, this is amazing good news and exciting news, which is far beyond what Zechariah can expect. When God makes dreams come true, the blessing is tremendous. It is unreserved. It is not just for one person. The dream is never, right? But a communal. Community is for the community. It's for both the dreamer, the one who dreams, and also the people around the dreamer. Right? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, say, do nothing out of selfish ambition. Your dream is never about your selfish ambition and vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourself, not looking at your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. Many people, they have dreams. I know, you know, friends, you know, they have dreams, right? They always think of themselves in the dream. They dream to become, you know, the president of the company. They dream, you know, to become the leaders of certain organization, right? In the case of Zechariah, having a son represents God's blessing to him and his family. But not only that, it means to take away the shame. from him. In the past, I'm sure in China as well, or in any culture, that not having kids, that is a shame to the family. So God take away from that as well, yes. But at the same time, God said that dream is not only for you, it's not only to take away the shame from you, it's for the other as well. Right? God showed them a bigger picture. That, you know, the dream that I give you, the dream that you fulfill, is not only for you. Not only for you to take away your shame, not only for the kid to carry your family name, and not only for that, you know, so that, you know, your business, your job, your calling as a priest can be continued. Not only for that, right? It is to serve the purpose of God, to foretell the Christmas story, to prepare the role of Christ coming in, to get the people ready for Jesus. God's timing is unrestricted. It can happen any time. God's blessing is unreserved. It's not only for the dreamer, right? It will benefit anyone that is around the dreamer along its way. That's the dream should be for, unreserved. Not only for you, for your selfish purpose, but for everyone. And God's quest is also unrestricted. It pursued everyone. Yeah. God's dream, the calling, the quest, want you to dream is not only for the chosen one. It's unrestrained. It's pursued everyone. We think, you know, the quest, you know, for dream is only for the special one. Like Moses, like David, like Zechariah, to the pastor, to the church leader, like Ephraim or, you know, Terrain. No. Yeah. It's for everyone. Everyone who sit here. God wants you to dream. It works like that. I mean, you know, you have the dream first. Then you become the chosen one. It's not that you are the chosen one. That's why you have the dream. No. You start dreaming first. And then you become the chosen one like Zechariah, like David. Let me, you know, examine, you know, look at, you know, those we call the chosen one. Look at David, King David, right? How did he start? He started with, you know, as a shepherd boy, nobody knows, very young, right? And he had a dream to seek the glory of God, right? And when the enemy that attacked, you know, God's reputation, what did he do? He defended it against all odds. He stepped forward to face what? To face the enemy, the big giant called Goliath, right? We all know about the story. And against the reality, he was only a boy, not to mention that he doesn't have any kung fu training, right? Or any military, you know, training. But he wrote an amazing story of winning. Winning the unwinnable. Killing the unkillable. Not with any special weapon, huh? Just like, you know, James Bond. There's no secret special weapon. But only with what? 5 stone. That's it. That's how he can do it. Right? How he started? He started with this dream. Started, you know, this dream from God to make sure that God's glory is maintained. God's glory is defended. You look at Peter. Peter is a fisherman. All he knows is how to fish. Right? Very low status in the society, without much education. Not even mentioned about Bible training. He wasn't trained at all. His dream is to serve God. And Lord, what Jesus turned him into? Jesus turned him into a fisher of men. And Jesus told him, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. That's it. Right? God made him into the foundation rock of the early church. We are here because of Peter, because of Paul, because of a lot of people. And that's why in Philippians 2:13 describe this very, very well. For it is God who works in you. God who works in you, in us, to will and to act according to his good purpose. It's not what we can do. It's because God, what God can do in us and for us and with us. The Bible never say that God will only work in pastor, in deacons, in Terrain, and Ephraim. God, but God said, I will work with you, in you. That's all of us here. Remember that we all given this permission. We all given this permission to what? To explore, to experiment, to expect, to dream, to dream. Yeah. There's a quote from a friend called, most people die at the age of 25, but not bury until they are 70. It's not that, you know, we'll die in 25. But that's what Benjamin Franklin said, you know. If we don't have dream, then we'll die. Right? We live as if, you know, we die. So I pray that, you know, none of us here will be the one that has this cry. Right? When Paul told us in Philippians 2:13, tell us that, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his purpose. When Paul said, do you believe in it? Do you believe in it? Do you act on it? Do you dream on it? So God's timing is unrestricted. It comes anytime. We should keep our dream alive. Not to let them be washed away by time. Not to wash away by reality. Not to wash away by counterfeit of our life. God's blessing is unreserved. It benefits anyone that's along in the way. And God's quest for dream is unrestrained. It's not only for the special one. It's for everyone. It pursues everyone. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're educated, you don't have a degree. Everyone here. I don't know whether you've seen the movie. I love movie. And this was movie, I don't know when it came out, probably 2010, or I don't know, yes. And it's the movie called Life of Pi. Anybody who read the book or seen the movie? No, I mean, you know, I encourage, you know, rent the movie, borrow the movie and seen it. Yeah. This is, you know, about, you know, talk about a guy, you know, called Pine, right? And his family living Indian for Canada. While they emigrated to Canada, just like all of us here, or some of us here, right? With animals. And the boat capsized because of a huge storm. Everyone died except him and four other animals, right? And eventually all the animals except the tiger were killed. And he was left, you know, to fend for himself on the life raft, you know, with the tiger. Yeah. This is the highlight of the journey, right? The tiger itself represents dangerous and unknown, right? Pine was always threatened by the tiger. Of course, I mean, you know, the tiger, big cat, you know, they're carnivore, which means that they go for meat. Right? They will eat anything, you know, that's not, we know that tiger is not vegetarian. Tiger doesn't care about diet, right? They want meat, including us, right? The tiger was dangerous. It was somehow it pressed him continue to move. Right? It urged him to think, urged him to plan, urged him to stay awake. If not, he'll be eaten by the tiger. Right? It gave him the spirit. It gave him the energy. It gave him the allow him to focus, to survive, to move on to the journey. Right? The same as our dreamer. When we dream, they're also dangerous. Dream sometimes is dangerous because it asks us to give up things that we don't want to give up. Give up the time that we don't want to give up. Asks us to give up the money and the resources, you know, for the other, for our dream, right? They promise to make crazy decisions. People, you know, I mean, I still remember when I told my wife that, you know, I'm going to go back to school and study and to become a pastor. She looked at me. And she stared at me for a good 10 minutes without saying anything. I don't know how to respond. And I think, you know, you're crazy. Yes, it requires certain craziness. You need to be crazy for God, you know, and with God sometime. And they require us to travel into unknown territory, right? And going back to school, I mean, after 15 years, for me, it's unknown. And then when I studied the language of Greek. I mean, Greek is unknown to me. Still, you know, today, it's still Greek to me. They stretch our limit. But they gave us also excitement, and they gave us power, and they gave us awesome experience. At the end, we are rewarded by joy and satisfaction, just like Zechariah. Right? Dream a motivator. And friends, for our journey of life, and we need to experience the joy and the precious gift of dream, of life, like pine. Right? Life without dream is like a life without color. Imagine that. You live in a black and world, black and white world. I grew up with a TV that is 12 inches and it's black and white. And today, how large is the TV? 16 inches, 85 inches, and thin and vibrant with color. Which one is better? I will live, you know, with you. It's just like, you know, a book that is blank inside. When you read a book, if it's blank inside, what are you going to do? You just throw it away because you don't enjoy. I mean, it's not a book to you, right? It's nothing for you to share, nothing for you to read, nothing for you to write. If life without dream, right? In the bulletin, there's a blank square, right? What are you going to fill in? I'll live it with you. You can fill it with blank as well. Fill it with counterfeit, right? I say, you know, you say career, you say money, you say, you know, property, you say house. But what do you fill in? I will leave it up to you. I mean, this afternoon when you go back, pray on it, pray about it. Take out the sermon outline, go through it again. And then with the blank, what do you want to feel? Is it your dream? Is it a dream that will benefit the other? Is it a dream that you gave up some time? Yeah. And I believe that you all have a dream. This is your dream. All the empty chairs are a dream. You have a dream to build up another community. You have a dream to build up a community so that people can come here to know Christ, to share, and to grow. This is your dream. Remember that. God's timing is unrestricted. It may take some time for you to fill this place. But hang in there. Make sure your light is on. Make sure you have enough oil. Yeah. God's blessing is unreserved. It's only for you. Right. So that it's for the others as well. Right. God's quest dream is unrestricted. It's not only for terrain. It's not only for Ephraim. It's not only for those, you know, who work. It's for everyone here. I do pray that. Let me correct myself. I say, I know for the fact that 2017 Christmas will be a very special one for all of us here. Pray that, you know, when you look at the box, when you look at that, pray about it. What you're going to, you know, put into? What kind of dream that you want to put into? Yeah. And I pray that your dream, your successful of the dream, become my dream. And in due time, when I come to share with you again, then I'll see the fulfillment of your dream, and this will be my dream. Let me pray. Dear God, again, we give thanks to you for this wonderful morning. 2,000 years ago, you fulfilled the dream of Zechariah. And 2,000 years later, you also gave us a dream here. And pray that, you know, we will chase after the dream. We will not give up the dream. Because you know, we know that your timing is unrestricted. Your blessing is unrestrained. Yeah. And teach us so that we will hang on to it. We will fulfill the dream that you give us. Lord, for that I pray. Listen to our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray together. Amen.